welcome to the Inside Ride, a top 20 training podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. My name is Kevin Brennan, and I will be hosting alongside with my top 20 partner, Tom Cody. Today's ride will have three parts. Part one will be the thought of the week. For part two, we will be sharing an interview we recorded with our friend and colleague in education, Eric Lillis. Eric has been a teacher, an assistant principal, an athletic director, and about everything else you could be in a school. His current role is as executive director of Kingman Academy of Learning in Kingman, Arizona. Eric discusses being intentional in his work, prioritizing the most important pieces, the students, and shares his insights on what school should really be about. And finally, for part three, Tom and I will share our takeaways from our discussion with Eric. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's Inside Ride. Tom Cody, good to see you as always. Welcome to our first kind of official podcast now that we've moved out of the web show space, trying to reach a lot of people. Let's hear it. What's your thought of the day? Where are we at?
Well, first thought, I've got a face made for radio, so this will be perfect. Podcast. By the way, everybody listening, I'm 28 years old. I have brown hair. I'm incredible. I'm kind of Clooney. I look a little bit like Clooney in his youth.
Yeah, a young Clooney. A young Clooney.
Yeah, I'm not sure which Clooney. But hey, my thought for the day is, there's a lot of teachers out there listening to this. Think about this last month. And I know it's all about assessments and you're going to finish the last day and give a big final that takes like eight staples to put it together. Think about changing up your last day. You got some time to plan ahead, maybe move the final back a couple days. But I mean, the last day should be Snickers bars and Twizzlers and a celebration of 180 days surviving this pandemic. Think about some kind of celebratory gesture to have the kids leave the building with instead of I'm only on page 2 of 7 on your final. That is not a great way to say goodbye. And I've tried it both ways. I love giving the final the day before the last day. So think about changing up how we say goodbye to kids.
That's great. That's great. Cause yeah. What do you want? They always say people rarely remember what you said, but how you made them feel. What do you want people to feel on that last day? You want the kids to feel the pain of the 8-page final, get the paper cuts, have the cramp in the hand, or like you said, a celebration, Snickers, Twizzlers. Cool.
Hey, quick clarifier. You're about to hear from my good friend, Eric Lillis from Kingman, Arizona. During this interview, he refers to Johnston's Renaissance, and he uses the term JRNC. That's Johnston's Renaissance National Conference. So when he drops a little JRNC, four letter little initials at you, that's what he's referring to. Just so you stay on the page with us.
Awesome.
Hope you enjoy tonight.
Indeed.
Hello, everybody. This is Tom from Top 20 Training. 2-3 years ago, it started to hit me that our work in Top 20 Training is only as good as the guy in the second row on the left when you're speaking at Johnston's Renaissance. I meet this dude, and he gives me the look like we know each other and we don't know each other. So I met Eric Lillis that day. We hung around, talked after the session. I immediately figured out this guy cares about kids. He's running a kind of a crazy, wonderful school in Kingman, Arizona, which I had no idea what Kingman, Arizona even is. And believe it or not, Kevin, I've been to Kingman, Arizona. So there you go. Lillis cares about kids. That you learn that in the first 15 seconds when you talk to him. Welcome, Eric Lillis from Kingman, Arizona. Hi, Eric.
Thanks, Tom. I'm glad to be here.
Eric, so glad to meet you formally. I've heard Tom talk a lot about you. It's good to see your face, and I'm excited more about what's going down in Arizona.
And you people listening to this on the podcast, you can just imagine the face of Eric.
Well, hey, here's the good news. We're going to slap this bad Oscar up on YouTube, so they're going to see him.
Great.
So Lillis, you're sitting there at Renaissance, and we'll explain Renaissance a little bit here.
Yeah. To people that don't know, what is Renaissance? What are you talking about here?
Johnston's, the yearbook company in Minnesota, puts on this fabulous event until COVID. For teachers and students and leadership. It's a pep rally for social emotional learning and culture. And it's just one of the greatest events on earth, but Eric walks in to a breakout session I'm doing. It didn't take us long to connect. Eric, do you remember that?
I do. And if you guys don't mind, I like to actually go back to my first JRNC, which was 2012. I was actually privileged enough to be working. I'm going to drop some names a little bit.
That's okay.
I was working with Darren Peppard up in Rock Springs, Wyoming. And Darren took me to JRNC. And the first year that I went, I didn't know what to expect. You know, I walked into this event thinking, oh, just another teacher's conference, no big deal. I'm going to take maybe one or two things back to my school and no big deal. Are you kidding me? I left this place re-energized. I left this place as so much of a better educator than I was when I walked in 3 days earlier. I mean, it is just an amazing experience. And the first pullout session that I walked into, Tom, was Steve Wolf. It's the first guy that I saw when I walked in there. And it was just amazing. And when I walked in to see you in Phoenix, I think, wasn't it in Phoenix?
Yeah.
And it was like 175 degrees,
yep.
Phoenix in, you know, in July, but thank goodness the air was working inside the Kierland there when we were there. But I didn't know what to expect when I saw Tom. Tom's outside giving high fives to everybody when they're coming in back before COVID when we were able to give high fives.
Sure.
I didn't know what to expect. I mean, here's this guy I've never seen before. All right, let's give it a shot. I walk in and 5 minutes in, hearing Tom's story, I'm like, man, this guy gets it. This guy understands what education is all about. This guy understands what culture and climate is all about. And it's not about, to steal one of your lines, Tom, it's not about parabolas. It's not about sine and cosine. It's about kids. You know, and that's what Renaissance is all about. That's why we do what we do. And I was just having this conversation just 5 seconds ago with my financial advisor. And she's like, Eric, she said, when did school become about paperwork and compliance and ants and this and that? I said, yeah, I mean, it's about kids and it's about teaching and learning.
Yeah.
And those are the only things that matter. And hearing Tom's story, it was kind of cool because it was very similar to my story. I had a quote unquote come to Jesus moment, kind of like Tom did. Sure. I had a student call me out and tell me he didn't like me and tell me why. And today that turned everything around for me.
What was your role at that moment in your career when you got called out?
I was an assistant principal at a high school. I was, okay. You know, the dean of students.
Yep.
So I saw all the bad.
Sure.
And I was in a bad place that year to begin with. I had some other stuff going on. It's not really important.
Sure.
But I was having a real hard time personally. And I was really hard on this kid. Hmm. And at the point where I was unfair to him when he was in front of me in my office and I was treating him like I shouldn't be treating him. And he was sitting in the office one day after school and he said he wanted to talk to me. His name was TJ and he wouldn't care if I told you his name because we're actually really good friends now.
Funny how that actually works.
Yeah. And he's actually in his 30s now and like, we still connect, which is really cool because I mean, he actually changed my life as an educator. And I tell him that when we talk, but he was sitting in the office and I said, TJ, what are you doing here? He's like, I want to talk to you. I said, okay. We go in my office, we shut the door and he's standing in front of my desk and he says, I hate you. I hate school because I hate you.
Wow.
And
how's that feel?
And it was one of those moments and he was really loud and my principal came around the corner and he looked in the window and he said like, do you need me? And I'm like, no, I got this. And I let TJ just vent. And I was massively unfair with him. And I was, and the way I treated him was wrong. And he made me that day realize that he wasn't the only one that I was doing that to.
Sure.
And, you know, you flash back to when we were in high school and the assistant principal's job was the dean of students and their job was the discipline and nobody liked
it. Yeah.
Well, it's not about being liked. It's about being fair and it's about respecting kids because kids make mistakes and TJ changed the way that I looked at education from that day on. I changed the way that I did things from that day on. I listened to kids. I didn't listen to kids then. I just threw the hammer down, yep. You know, and that completely changed the way that I looked at everything.
Well, what, you know, Tom and I, you don't know much about our story. Tom and I taught together at the same high school, but when I started teaching there, Tom was in the middle of this kind of the very beginning of this kind of reawakening of who he is. And we use the language of our inner lives. You know, this title of this podcast is The Inside Ride. So you mentioned your own inner life was something was occurring, kind of something was getting stuck in the wheels, whatever that was. And that was spilling out into this outer world called your world, or excuse me, education. And it's so incredible that a student, especially a student, maybe a knucklehead that had seen The Office before, was the one that was the catalyst for you, you know? And I think kids, that's one of the coolest thing about kids is they know authenticity, and they also know, hey, this is something that just has to happen. The right thing in the world right now is for me to call this guy out, mm-hmm. and hope it goes well. You said you listened.
Yeah.
And that's everything in terms of mattering for a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Two things had to happen there. One, TJ has to have a moment of bravery.
Big.
Which if you think about it, you say, no, he was just a knucklehead. Nah, he was a real brave knucklehead in that moment because he had a mm-hmm. lot to risk there. But then, Eric, you had to be listening. Think how many educators in this country right now have never had a kid like TJ brave enough to interrupt their dysfunction.
Right? Absolutely.
There's teachers that are sick and tired of being sick and tired. They just don't know who they are. That's
right.
Kind of what we do in Top 20 is try to wake up some of them peeps, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but just think how lucky.
And it's really easy as an assistant principal or a dean of students to get into that rut where you don't see anything but kids make poor choices, walk down to your office. And I think that's kind of where my mindset was I'm just tired of this. I'm tired of this. And I had to change my mindset to, you know what? These kids need somebody to talk to. There might be something else that's going on where they are acting out because of that. They might have an issue at home. They might have an issue with a boyfriend or girlfriend. They might, and I don't want to be their counselor, not necessarily, but they just may need an ear.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's,
go ahead.
And that's kind of where my mindset went from there is I listen, sometimes they still got a detention or whatever the case may be, but at the same time, they appreciated the fact that I listened to them from then on out.
Sure. I in high school, I was a knucklehead, big knucklehead. I got in all sorts of trouble. And through my 4 years with my buddies and my friend circle, whenever I got called down to the office, you know, his name was Doc Holliday, big fella, rode a Harley. I would always go in there and I would smooth talk him. I would talk about Ireland because my dad was from Ireland and he was Irish. And I would say to my buddies, I'm like, I just got to go in there and talk about Ireland and I'll get off the hook and this. And so I'd go in there as a kid. I'd talk about Ireland with him. He'd shoot the breeze with me for 5, 10, 15 minutes. And then at the end, the last minute, he'd dole out the little lesson / consequence. And I remember walking out of there always thinking, yeah, he's easy on me. I got this. But now I think back and this guy put relationship first. He let me just chat, even if I was thinking I was pulling the wool over his eyes. And then he always weaved it into, hey, look, you can't leave at lunch to go to McDonald's. You just can't do that. And yeah. So because of that, you're going to need to do this. And I would always take the consequence because I was the one that left for McDonald's. But it was neat because I carried those with me. And if he had gone hammer first, you know, wouldn't have worked. Now, there's times when the hammer has to come first. You know, I wasn't like slapping people in the hall and putting cigarettes out on people's foreheads in that moment. You know, I was skipping school. So relationship first, I love it, and listening. So where are you now? I mean, I know where you are now, but what's your role now? Is it different than AP or your executive director, right?
Yeah, and I've gone through a number of roles. When I left the high school, I was a principal at a 3-5 building, which is our intermediate school at Kingman Academy. And then I decided to take the leap to Wyoming to work with Pepperd for 2 years, which was an awesome experience. The weather was awful. Rock Springs was a great time. And then I was privileged enough for them to welcome me back here. I actually got married to someone who lived here, and she drove me back to Kingman, and they accepted me back here as the director of curriculum instruction. And then I moved back to the high school as a principal, and I'm back in the chair leading the district as executive director. So my resume is pretty big. I've the past 10 years.
But there's no way you can say to a teacher, like, they can't say to you, well, you've never been a teacher, you've never been an AP.
Totally.
You've been everything.
I've been everything. I was an AD for 15 years in one way, shape, or another. So, sure. I mean, athletic director is probably the most thankless job on the face of the earth. Oh. It's always your fault when a kid's, you know, my kid's not playing. It's always the AD's fault. It's not the coach's fault. It's the AD's fault. So, I still loved it though. I loved being at events. I loved watching kids compete. I loved our kids. I mean, win or lose, I just loved being there, you know, being AD.
And Kevin, you got to talk pretty slow to Eric because he's an Iowa fan.
Oh, now come on.
I see the Hawkeye above his head.
He's got Hawkeye. Come on.
I got some Minnesota jokes, but I'll save those for
later. Yeah.
Oh, there's no shortage of those. No, we have a dear friend that's a principal in Iowa, and he talks about the Hawk all the time, and it's starting to wear on me. I'm not a Gopher guy. I went to North Dakota State. I'm a Bison. So
there you go. That's a program there, man.
There we go.
So Eric, you've got this Renaissance background where you've heard about culture. You got your feet dipped into top 20. So now you're the director at Kingman Academy of Learning. How do you get this stuff to the kids? You got to get the teachers on board. You got to get the maintenance people, staffalty, how we talk about the whole group. What's the approach from the director? Because you're not in the classroom. So how are you getting this to the kids?
Well, but I am. And that's the thing is I don't sit behind my desk during the school day. I like to get out. I like to talk to my teachers. I'm out in the parking lot every morning greeting kids. And Tom, you saw that when you were here.
Beautiful.
We start the day in front of the primary school, greeting the K-2 kids. And that's the best part of my day.
Yeah.
You know, greeting kids and greeting parents. And now since we took the masks off, I can see their faces again. That's the best part about this.
Yeah.
Is we can see their faces again. And I do try to get to the other schools to greet kids too. The high school, you know, all of our other campuses, the middle school. But getting out and being visible and not being that person that's stuck behind a desk all day long. There are days as an admin that you are stuck behind your desk. Phone calls, whatever the case may be, emails to answer. Mm-hmm. I like to save those for after school. I like to save those for after, and I like to get out. For instance, we went to the middle school today to watch some dissection of some frogs, you know, and the kids love that. Are you kidding me? There was one kid in the corner. I thought she was going to throw up for sure, but that was great. Just looks on those kids' faces when they were dissecting frogs. That was great.
Sure.
You know,
quick time out. Kevin, can you just hear the vibe from Eric? The positivity, the education's cool. Let's greet some kids. And remember, this is coming in the most hellish, awful nightmare, 14 months in any teacher, especially an administrator's life.
Yep.
This is why I love hanging around this guy. You got the bounce, Lilish. You got the bounce to your step.
And I'm not blowing smoke. I don't get anything out of blowing smoke here. But when Tom said, hey, I got a guy in Arizona, and Eric, he used the language you used about Tom. He just said, this guy gets it. Just trust me. I was like, I'm in. Because educators know if someone gets it, that's the mark. You know, that's the mark of a great educator. It means they're going to be put in relationships first. They're going to be they're going to be doing exactly what you're saying. They're going to be interested in what's going on in the classroom. Your role obviously has a million hats and a million things to get done in the day, but just hearing that you try to keep what you can when you can to when the kids are away is beautiful. So back up, especially for everyone listening that has no clue about Renaissance and Jostens and then Tom. So Tom's speaking at this big conference, and I have big respect for Jostens Renaissance for doing great things for educators that get them amped up, give them quick tools to use when they get to the classroom. So you're at this conference. Tom's doing the hustle outside the door. That's what he does everywhere. He's high-fiving when he can. He's handing out business cards. He's telling them, trust me, come in. It's not bloodborne pathogens. That's the Tommy line. And he gets you in. And so I take it he talked about culture, Tom. Is that what maybe you were delivering, the piece on our four cornerstones culture, maybe?
Could have been line, could have been frame, could have been culture.
And so since then, Eric, you have brought Tom and our company, Top 20, to your school and taken some baby steps, big steps. What's been going on?
Both. My teachers still use some of Tom's concepts, some Top 20 stuff in their classrooms. I walked into a classroom the other day and a picture of the pandas was on the wall of one of my teacher's classrooms.
I'm talking Kevin's
pushing
language.
Up the helping. Yeah.
Kevin, and explain the pandas quick because some people don't have the visual.
Sure. So one of our cornerstones for a healthy, effective culture or culture of learning is we help others be successful. And we articulate that with this great picture of two pandas. One panda's pushing the other panda up. So the bottom panda is saying, hey, I got your back. I'm with you. I want to do whatever I can to make this work for you. Help others succeed. So Tom's my panda. Paul, our director of our company, is my panda. My wife's our office manager. She's my panda. I'm Tom's panda. You know, we have pandemonium going on because we want to send the message that, hey, I got you. So you got pictures in classrooms of pandas, huh?
We do. And the thing about Tom that stands out the most and the stuff that he talked about, Tom's real. And he, when he came in and talked to our staffalty that day, I think it was an afternoon, it was after lunch. And Tom's standing up on tables and he's pounding the fist on the table and getting a point across. And my teachers are engaged. My custodians are there and they're engaged. My bus drivers are there and they're engaged because there were things that he said that reached every single person in that room. It wasn't just the teachers. I mean, my paras were there. My secretaries were there. Everybody was there that could be, sure. You know, I thought it was important that the entire faculty see what Tom was all about because I saw what Tom was all about in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember this or not, Tom, but when I came to see you the first time in Phoenix, I was by myself. I didn't have any of my people with me from KOL. The second time that we came, the last day, all of my peeps were with me on KOL and it was SRO. I mean, there was no room to sit in that room. There were people sitting on the floors, leaning up against walls, sitting on the ledges over by the windows. The word had spread about Tom and Top 20 before his last pullout session. And man, it was a packed house and he blew the roof off.
Nice.
Yeah, but it does, again, what I do is of no value whatsoever unless I meet you, Eric, because that's cool that we all have a good time in Phoenix and everybody haha or that was life-changing, but the end user is still that girl in seventh grade in Kingman.
That's right.
So the key is the conduit from Tom. See, I'm done teaching. I did my 40 years.
Right.
Now the conduit is, can Tom get to Eric? Can Eric get to this biology teacher cutting up frogs? Can the teacher connect with that kid? Because that teacher you're talking about is going to teach 5,000 kids, 8,000 in their career. I don't know. But that's the key. And I'm sitting at 69 years old thinking I got to find some more Eric Lillis guys, you know.
Well, and that's the thing is it's not just up to me to do that. It's up to my building leaders to do that too. And they're all in that category too. But at the same time, even if we're able to get three or four of our teachers a month where we wanted to be, or like five or six teachers a year that were below the line and there go, I'm using it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were below the line and we get those five teachers above the line by the end of the year. That was effective. We'll take that. You know, if we still got three of them that are still hanging there, we'll get them later, but we got these five done, you know. Sure. They're above the line now. They're good for kids. They're saying and doing the right things in their classroom. And the number one thing that myself and all of my leaders believe is the one thing that we want our teachers to be is good for kids. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be the best teacher in the world or the best instructor in the world. Dang it. You got to be good for kids.
Right.
Kevin. Yeah, go ahead, Kevin.
And you know, you mentioned above and below the line. Again, when we're above the line, our thinking's working. This, our inner lives are in a good place and we're just straight up more effective personally and professionally. When we're below the line, we're less effective. There's a lot of teachers, there's a lot of business owners, there's a lot of people in communities that operate out of habits that are just negative, you know, and they're operating out of their least effective self, and they hold jobs. But when you talk about, when you talk about putting people in front of kids, it's unconscionable and it's unacceptable to let people continue to spill negativity and operate out of a very ineffective place for kids. They're our most precious thing on this planet. And what we do now, there's research all over the place. What we do now with them, whatever grade, makes an impact as they go on out into the world. So it's crazy that people don't stop and say, well, what's going on in our teachers' inner lives? And what can we do to help them be aware of it? And then just take some little steps. And the line is just a great tool. You see the Courtney poster above me, but it's like, that's what it is. And I think, you know, when Tom and I were teaching together and I first heard this content, because down the hall, they were developing this stuff for kids. And I hear this thing about this line and what are you talking about? And then it just started clicking. Oh, there's times when I'm my best self, when I'm on, as a dad, as a husband, as a teacher. And there's times when I'm not. And the problem is when we're unaware of the times that we're not. And so many educators, myself included, from when I was in the classroom, would operate from that space and just get by. But who's what's the cost? Well, the cost of those kids. So cool.
Well, and I'm glad you said that, Kevin, about it just doesn't apply to us, in, you know, inside these buildings. It applies to us in life. You know, I mean, absolutely. I have to be a better dad. I have to be a better husband. And I have to stay above that line to be able to be there, you know, and I myself near in that line sometimes, and I have to step back and I have to think about things.
Yep.
And I think that's what we have to do in the classrooms too. And we have to do for kids is words are huge. I mean, what comes out of our mouths in front of our kids, whether it's at home, are huge. Kids don't forget this stuff.
No.
They don't forget what you say to them. You know, it might be 10 years later and they're still talking about, I remember that garbage that came out of your mouth when I was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
No, I mean, kids don't forget, and you have to be able to be, we have this, we have a gift as educators that we get to shape and change and affect the lives of these kids all the way from kindergarten through seniors, mm-hmm. You know, and when we realize that, we realize what kind of effect we have on these kids, it's a huge difference. It makes a huge difference. They have to realize that. Teachers have to realize that what they say makes a huge impact on what they believe. And especially this year, like Tom was saying, this year has been just a mess. And this year, more than any year, it's about the kids, man. It's getting them back where they need to be, not just academic, but social, emotional too. I mean, it's, I see kids walking down the halls at our high school and our middle school with their heads down and they look sad, and I walk up to them and I, sometimes I don't know their names. Sometimes I do. And I'll compliment them on their shoes and try to start a conversation with them just because they look like they want somebody, you know, they need somebody to talk. Yeah. And that's one of our Renaissance goals too, at our high school and middle school, is nobody stands alone. Nobody eats alone. If someone, you know, is by themselves and they look like they need a friend, we're going to go talk to them.
Yeah. It's huge. You know, I've been talking to administrators like Eric during this COVID thing, and we always talk about culture, Kevin. My new bit, whatever, your gig, whatever I'm doing, is you can either fix your culture four ways: retire, hire, fire, or inspire. And a lot of people just wait around for the old guys to leave, and then we'll have a more positive school. But what I like about Eric, what you've been up to, is you're going right to inspire. We're hoping to fix a couple of people who are broken, whether it's with the line or panda bears or culture. But rather than, and we can always say, well, you just hire new ones, but I can't believe you're getting 82 applications for a math teacher in Kingman, Arizona. You know, so it's not just hire them or fire them. We got to take the ones we got. This is like the Minnesota Twins right now. This is our team and our team sucks, but we got to, we're not going to trade them all. So we got to figure out how to fix it, you know? And that's why I just love hanging around administrators that don't just sit back and wait for culture to develop. That's what's, you know, whether it's from top 20 or all the different people you're involved with in this small world of cool educational people, there's a lot of good stuff out there, but it's worthless unless Eric takes it back to his school, you know?
Well, and in our world, Eric, I mean, we're in, even on the COVID year, we're in enough schools, but a regular year, we're in schools just constantly all over the place. And the game changer, we often get the question of like, how's this going to stick? How are we going to make this content that we deliver stick? And the answer is who's in the driver's seat, meaning who's in the leadership position that is a believer and living it. And that's why I'm so excited to talk to you, because it takes, I can't imagine an executive director's to-do list. I don't want to imagine it, but to fit in there what really matters, I can imagine there's a lot of people, well, I've seen it, there's a lot of people in leadership positions that just don't make room for what matters because there's enough stuff that just has to get done. How do you prioritize to take care of those, as you say, the kids first, and to do things for teachers that enable them to be there and present for the kids first? Well, how do you prioritize that?
I just make it a priority. And it's that simple. I mean, it's when I come in, if I have a couple of little fires I need to put out before the day starts, I'll do it real quick. If a principal needs me, for instance, my high school principal called me first thing this morning. Hey man, can you pop over and check on this? And, you know, and I did, took 10 minutes. I was back greeting kids in the parking lot again. So, I mean, I tell the ladies here in the office who are amazing that, you know, wherever I'm going, they know where I'm going. I'm getting out to a school. I'm heading to the middle school. We're going to go through classrooms. You know, I might take my financial director with me. I might take my HR director with me because I think it's important that they see kids too.
Sure.
Stuck behind these desks and we never get to see why we do what we do, especially in this office, you know? So it's, you have to be intentional. You have to get the number one thing on your list is executive director or not, COVID or not, face mask policy or not, it's still kids. We're still in the business of kids, period. You know, and when I accepted this position, and long story short, I mean, this was not my path. I mean, I had no idea any day I was going to be leading an entire school district. I was actually in med school. That's a story for another time. But I ended up here, you know, University of Iowa Med School, Tom, just so you know.
Yeah.
But I was worried that when I received this position that I would be stuck at my desk reading emails, answering angry phone calls, especially this year, and things like that. But I didn't do that. I let the phone calls go to my voicemail. I let my emails wait till the end of the day. You know, I got back to as many as I could. And I prioritized my stuff. But at the same time, it was important to me to see teachers. Even when the kids were not here, I went to see my teachers because they were still working in the buildings during, I mean, whatever you call it, remote learning or whatever you guys called it in Minnesota. I still wanted to see how my people were doing because it's not just about taking care of my kids this year. It's about taking care of the staffelty too.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
And I tried to communicate as much as I could with them through emails. I recorded a couple of videos that I sent out just to tell them that I loved them, just to tell them that I cared about what they were doing. I was proud of how hard they were working. Even with their kids aren't on campus, I know how much they struggled this year because this is not what they're trained for. Nobody's trained to work the Google platform 24/7. You know, nobody's trained to work Class Dojo, you know, 24/7 or anything like that. And we were thrown into a situation, and you know what? My teachers knocked it out of the park. Are you kidding me? We knocked it out of the park with very little training leading up to this.
Yeah.
We had every intention on coming back on August 19th and just going. And then Arizona had an outbreak. So we really didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know, but taking care of my teachers, not just this year, but every year should be a priority for every administrator too.
So, you know,
and not just during Teacher Appreciation Week. Don't just say,
I agree. Yeah, no, I agree.
I hate that. If you need an Appreciation Week, you got a terrible job. You should be appreciated. I mean, they don't have Appreciation Week for people that feel appreciated all the time.
Well, I mean, last week was Secretary's Day. And sure, I mean, we did something for them, but that's not the only day we do something for
secretaries. I hope not.
Hey, you know,
but I'll tell you what, Kevin, Eric's a real positive guy, but I ran into Eric about 6 months ago. And he was hurting. So he's trying to do his best. But here's what's cool about this network, this Zoom community, this this year of awful produced something wonderful, because now we're reaching out once a week. We're reaching out once a month. We got this little Zoom community going because we've met these people in national conferences and in state stuff. And suddenly Eric comes on and says, I'm hurting. I'm a mess. I mean, I'm struggling. But suddenly he's got some different deal because this small world that we're talking about of positive people picks each other up. We got Zoom pandas now. We don't have to.
So you're describing, you're telling me there's a handful of folks, you, Eric, some others that perhaps connected through Renaissance.
Justin? Yeah, Renaissance. And then maybe it's National Student Council. Then you go to a LEAD conference put on by NASSP, and the community builds because you, and it's weird because you normally wouldn't even hear about these people.
Sure.
And the pandemic, you know?
And so you all connect once, however many times a month, community. You're right. That would have never happened if people weren't forced apart, you know. You know, and Eric, for our team, once the pandemic rolled out and we started being quite reflective at Top 20 about what we do, that's called get on planes, go to schools, get in buildings, and we realized that was going away. We just said, well, we got to put our shoulder into something. And we meet as a board. We typically met once a month. Sometimes we'd push it out. We went to weekly meetings. We went to connect. Because we, realizing it in the moment or not, or after the fact, it was, we needed it so bad to just have the hand with our partners as we walked, you know. And then we started reaching out to other educators. And you forget how many good people are in this amazing business we called education, you know. It's unreal. And I think the other gift, this, you know, I could finally say the pandemic has given us a gift. I couldn't bring myself to get that language at first, but I think it's really shaken some parents at the value of what a teacher is and does. I mean, parents have had to become managers, you know, in their homes across this country, trying to explain, you know, fourth grade science. You know, everyone I talk to that's a parent has just said, oh my gosh, teaching is so hard. I'm like, yeah, of course it is. It's one of the most challenging jobs on the planet, but the fuel we get with being with those kids is unbelievable. So I think parents, hopefully in your district too, are realizing the incredible things educators have done and are doing just to try to get us through the storm.
Yeah. Eric, before we let you go, what are a couple things you want to see education become? Like, we'll put you in charge of education in America.
Wow.
What are schools missing? What do you want to see in the next 5 years at your place? What has to keep, I know you're not going to sit still. So what do we need more in schools?
Can I ask you what we need less of first? Can I tell you what we need?
Yeah, start with that.
We need less worrying about assessment, less worried about what, you know, standardized testing and things that honestly have nothing to do with these kids' futures. We need to focus on what these kids are going to be doing when they're done with school instead of whether or not they know the Pythagorean theorem, you know. Not every kid is college bound. Not every kid is going to go to Yale. Not every kid is going to go to Stanford. Right. I mean, nobody's going to Minnesota. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. But
ouch.
Sorry. But we need to get focused on where these kids are going and what their strengths are. And that's what we need to teach to, is what their strengths are. And that's where states are dropping the ball, is they're more worried about, you know, how many words they can read in a minute as a third grader, or whether or not they can do their times tables in less than 30 seconds. You know, I mean, that to me, that has nothing to do with what these kids are going to be doing when they're 19 and 20 years old.
No, right. Makes me want to puke in a pail and
sniff. Exactly. And we are so far off, these states and these legislators are so far off of what is important in schools. They just don't know what it is anymore. And part of that comes from, number one, being unfamiliar with the school setting to begin with, and they were setting foot in a school their entire life there in office, but they're making decisions for education from their comfy chairs down in the, you know, the Capitol building. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm going crazy now with that, but we have to focus on the strengths of these kids and build on the strengths of these kids. And we need to take time during the school days to not necessarily worry about 90 minutes of ELA. You got to have 90 minutes of, you know, of ELA or you're going to get dinged. You know, how about just sitting down with the kids and talking to them about something, you know? How about just having a moment where you talk to them about what they care about instead of what you have to teach? I mean, this year more than any year, what's more important than just talking to a kid and finding out, you know, how's it going at home? You know, you're playing Little League. Tell me about it. I mean, whatever the case may be, we need to, you know, we need to spend some time just talking to kids. Mm-hmm. We have a few teachers that do that. They do what's, you know, they'll like circle the desks and they'll get together and they'll have conversations about maybe some issues in the news or maybe some stuff going on at school or maybe even what's coming up with prom. We're actually doing prom this weekend, which I'm over the moon about because we're finally getting a little bit of normal back.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a lower attended prom, but it's prom nonetheless for our seniors. They should totally get to do. Yeah. And it, the time that we spend, the 8 hours a day that we spend with these kids has to be meaningful. You know, it has to be meaningful. Yes, we have to teach curriculum. Yes, we don't get funded unless we teach the standards. Blah, blah, blah. But not all these kids, I mean, you see so many kids leave school because that's not what they want to hear. That's not what they want to learn.
Right.
So we need to start reaching these kids that aren't those kids. We need to start reaching these kids that are, by the time they're freshmen, they're done. They're checked out.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's one place in America I know what you're describing is happening, and that's Kingman, Arizona. Folks, if you're trying to get there, go to Flagstaff. I think you hang a left, and then you'll end up in Kingman. Eric, I want to thank you for tonight. I really appreciate your time.
Sure. I
look forward to hanging with you again in June. We got a little mini conference coming up in June where we'll be together. Kevin, anything else?
Say goodbye. I want to thank you for your time. I've been frantically scribbling these great notes that I'm gonna share with Tom on our little outro. But thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for actually saying out loud, we have to do what's meaningful to kids. and there are certain things like the standardized tests, the assessments, this and that sometimes get in the way of doing what's meaningful for kids. So if we can juggle them all and make it happen, beautiful. But I wouldn't mind if I was in charge, just bink, goodbye, standardized, see ya.
Oh man, if I had a choice, Kevin, let me tell you.
Well, hey, thanks so much. It's worth it. Tom and I are going to stick around, and then we'll send you the link when this thing's all spit and polished shiny. So
thanks, guys. You're rock stars. I appreciate it.
Thanks again, Willis. Bye.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Kev, Eric, quite a guy. A lot of energy. What you get? What's your takeaway?
Unreal. I think the thing that resonated with me the most was his awakening with TJ, the kid that called him out in the office. And the thing that got me wasn't the fact that, as you put it, TJ had this moment of bravery. The thing that got me is that this Eric, person of authority, he was an AP at the time, said he sat and he listened and he just heard him out. That, and to listen, to truly listen, takes removing judgment, being vulnerable, and being completely with that person. And until you can do that, you never hear what the other person's saying. And because he did that, he had this explosion in his head that, as you can hear from talking about him, and you've met him, you've worked with the schools, it has impacted everything he's done. He's been AP to AD to teacher. Now he's executive director of a district. And I have to believe, and just talking to him, he's so authentic. I have to believe that moment was something that just reminded him of what this is all about. So that's really what hit me. That's what I'd want every leader to hear and teacher to hear. Just those little moments. When can we pause, move the judgment, be vulnerable, and hear them?
Yeah, the power of one moment, but then it leads to the power of one person. So the moment is TJ, but it takes incredible courage to shift what you're doing, because Eric was not a young man when this happened. So he made the shift, and that powerful, powerful impact one person can make on a school, on a kid, on the future, that's a big deal. That's my takeaway. Power of one.
You know. Awesome. Cool. Well, there you have it. Big thanks to Eric Lillis of Kingman Academy of Learning, and a massive thanks to all of you for listening in. From Top 20 Training, my name is Kevin Brennan, and on behalf of myself and my co-host, Tom Cody, thanks for being with us on this week's ride.